Welcome to another episode of Ecosystem TV. I'm very excited to have Chetan Krishnamurthy, the CMO of IBM APAC, here with me today. Chetan, I have been watching you interview some very, very interesting people on your Reinvent and Refresh talk series, and I'm really glad to have you on the other side of the table here today.
Great. No, thank you. Thank you, Sash. It's good to see you, and thank you for taking the time to talk to me today. Really appreciate it. Look forward to this.
So really, we could be talking about many things today, but we are focusing more on a recently published Ecosystem Bytes in partnership with IBM, where we spoke about how organizations can shape their change strategy. And there is an urgent need for that, right? Because organizations have reinvented themselves in numerous ways over the last 3 years now. And now they look around them and they actually find that change is the new constant. And every successful organization has actually gone through the same rate of transformation. Now, one of the biggest challenges of this need for constant transformation is that resources are, in the end, finite. And of course, skills shortage is also a reality. So how do organizations continue to change at pace with all these different, sometimes conflicting priorities like, you know, customer excellence, operational efficiency, employee retention, etc.? How do they prioritize all of that?
Yeah, no, thanks. I think it's a wonderful topic and question, Sash. I think, look, the one thing I think we all need to acknowledge is that change is constant, right? I think we've talked a lot about how the pandemic has accelerated a lot of things, including the move to digital transformation, new customer experiences, and so on, right? So if I look at it from the way I see it, I don't necessarily see some of the things that you mentioned as potentially conflicting priorities, right? Because if you're doing really good CX, you're actually able to really kind of, you know, fine-tune your processes to support that CX. And in many ways, you obviously get your employees and your stakeholders lined up to delivering that CX. So there's a purpose, there's a vision, and there's a mission, right? But that said, like you rightly said, there is a finite amount of capacity, right? There's a finite amount of capacity. The question is, how do you take what you have and invest it in the areas that actually make sense to deliver the best possible client experience for the clients of the organizations, right? That's the fundamental premise, as you rightly said. Now, I look at this from two or three levers, right? So number one, I think, is how do you tap in to that network of skills, not just necessarily within your organization, but also outside, right? This is where I think the power of partnerships, the power of ecosystem comes into the picture, right? Like, how do you work collaboratively within a broad ecosystem, figure out that go-to-market so you can actually deliver best for your clients, right? That's definitely, I think, one area. This obviously means being able to embrace the partnership from the get-go, you know, and being transparent, working together, and actually skilling together so that you can actually drive this in one direction. That's, I think, is number one, right? So it all comes down to the power of ecosystems. And the second one, I think, which is very, very important, I think, is when you build some of these experiences ground up, whether you're doing this incrementally in some cases, the key, I think, is the platform, right? The platform that you're actually using in many ways to actually deliver this customer experience or improve operational efficiency in many ways or deliver the, you know, the right kind of business models, right? The second thing, I think, becomes the platform. And if the platform is truly open in nature, I think then you also start getting a what you call kind of a force multiplier effect, because you start drawing power from variety of innovations that are available on a single platform. You end up building a lot of cross-functional harmony, cross-industry value in many cases, and that again kind of ladders up on the ecosystem and the skills piece that you can actually draw from a wider network, right? That, I think, is the second one. And the third one, I think, it comes down to, I think, a lot of skilling, a lot of continuous learning within the organization, right? Because technology is shifting rapidly, frameworks are shifting rapidly. The question then becomes, how do you install the right kind of skilling, you know, within the organizations so that, you know, people continue to learn continuously and actually fine tune, you know, how some of these systems are developed and deployed?
That was a wonderfully detailed response, Chetan. I really like that. So we talk a lot, you know, one of the things that you did not really mention, but you did mention in part, is we talk a lot about technical debt today, yeah, right? And organizations have spent in areas that have helped them survive, and then they've ignored some other areas which, you know, are sometimes mission critical. And we mentioned in the bio that it is not only technical debt that organizations see today. It's way more, you know. There have been processes that have not been changed. There have been data that has not been identified, let alone harnessed. Did you see that in your clients in the Asia-Pacific region or elsewhere as well?
Yeah, again, I think this is a you know, what you just said, Sash, I think is a very, very important imperative if you want to accelerate digital transformation at speed, right? And I think this is something that a lot of the clients today are grappling, working towards, getting better at, because I think this forms the basis or the foundation for how you can actually build new business models, like as we spoke about, right? And, you know, the concept of technical debt, I think to me is also very, very personal in some ways, because I was an R&D guy for a very long time. And I have seen, you know, the effort that it sometimes requires to actually do refactoring versus building, you know, newer and newer applications, right? And you end up accumulating a lot of technical debt along the way. But what you're saying is even broader, right? Which is much, much broader than just, you know, a software alone. And I think all of this, I think Sash, it kind of starts off with a mindset in terms of how do you look at this in a very incremental and iterative fashion, right? This also ends up being the kind of methods that you actually use to design some of your systems, right? So there is obviously a, you know, a lot of prevalence in terms of a garage methodology where you actually start doing POCs initially, then you build minimum viable products, and eventually over a time scale. Now, as you scale, it's very important that some of these systems that have been built in a POC environment actually are then taken along into the new architectures, as you said, into the new data models, as you said, as these applications and solutions are actually scaled across the, you know, enterprise, right? And this again requires very, very clear notion of the kind of methods that you're using, the kind of, I would say, you know, the processes that you're using within the organization to scale, so that you're consciously taking a look at some of these foundational blocks, and they are evolving with business models, with, you know, the scale that you're building for your organization in terms of reach and customer experience and so on, right? I think this is pretty much, I think, where it starts, right? It's the kind of methodology that you use. And it also then again goes back to the skilling part that we spoke about, right? Like, how do you kind of make sure that the organization is skilled and is aware that these kind of debts in the long run can be challenging? And it's very important to start designing this as you continue to build, you know, some of these, you know, applications, Sash. I think what organizations can do, I think, is the right kind of methodologies. Again, the right kind of platform or framework that you use that is very modular in nature, where you can actually incrementally build. But a platform that also gives you the flexibility to plug into what you already had within the organization while you continue to drive some of your new innovations, so that you can take this along, you know, so that it's ready for scale and it can fit, you know, evolving business models as you go along.
You make a very interesting point, especially towards the beginning of the answer, you know, when you spoke about, you know, how change management is often a very long-term initiative, yeah, right? It's reiterative. Yeah. It continues on for a while. But organizations also need short-term wins, yeah? I mean, yeah, that's where you have the short-term ROIs and the long-term, yeah, ROIs. And it is almost as if organizations have to have a two-speed track to, yeah, change. So how complex does this, you know, dual track make things?
Yeah, and I think the notion of a two-speed IT, again, has been a, you know, very prevalent concept, right? Because you have one gear pretty much working at clockwork speed in terms of, you know, agile methodologies, iterative, you know, deployments, test on the fly, deploy, scale, and so on. But there's also a foundational piece that actually gives you that stability, the access to mission-critical, you know, infrastructure and applications in some ways, right? So it's very important that both of them are obviously, you know, clearly balanced, right? So this, again, I think to me comes down to a platform that is first of all built on, you know, an open, you know, technology, right? Embracing a true openness. So if you do that, because of the way these platforms are actually built in terms of enterprise security, in terms of being able to handle mission critical applications, drive those workloads at one side, but on the other hand, it gives you access to new age tools, new age platforms, new age way of working, right? So it acts as a classic bridge between how fast your customers are demanding to go and get you that experience in terms of, you know, new applications and new innovations, while making sure that the business that's actually running is secure, it's robust, and it's trustworthy, right? And if you look at the way I think we as IBM have actually concepted our entire strategy, I think it's essentially for us built on OpenShift as our foundational platform. But on top of that, we have obviously layered, you know, solutions for data and AI that can actually help you draw analytics and get insights from data. Obviously, platforms on automation that can actually help you, you know, shift to higher value in terms of, you know, in terms of work, right? And then at the same time, be sustainable as an organization while keeping all of this secure, right? It gives you that ability to move fast, rapidly innovate, rapidly prototype, while also giving you access to some of these mission critical infrastructure that you can manage on-prem, on the edge, on public cloud, so that you have that flexibility while you're focused more on, you know, innovating and creating your applications. That's how I look at it.
Cool. And you spoke about reiterative reinvention. And of course, in today's world, it's completely backed by technology. But you've also been talking about mindset, and that mindset is all, you know, always, almost always led by an organization's culture. How do leadership teams infuse this culture of change in organizations, Chetan?
Yeah, I think the first thing, I think it starts, Sash, is first of all, embracing, I would say, diversity within the organization, mm-hmm. right? So you have to embrace diversity, and you have to encourage diversity in terms of thinking, right? So once you start that, I think you've already created a culture of inclusiveness, and you've created a culture where contributions from various different perspectives are already appreciated, right? That is, I think, one of the critical pieces, I think, right? And regardless of where you are, regardless of whether you're an ecosystem partner, whether you're working with an open community within the organization, you've already started creating that circle of trust and removing all of these disconnected bubbles, if you will, that might potentially exist within and across the organization, right? That's, I think, is the first part, right? And the second piece, I think, is leading by example, right? Because as a leadership, if you're leading by example in terms of the way you talk, the way you communicate, the way you look at fundamentally designing some of these solutions, the way you look at your challenges of your clients in terms of a very empathetic lens, right? Using the right kind of approaches. If you start with that, if you embrace this diverse way of thinking and working, and you actually break down those silos between the teams, and then have a culture of continuous feedback to actually foster incremental improvements, I think it eventually lends to growth in terms of skills. You know, it eventually lends to employees wanting to be more engaged and being there, learning from each other. And eventually all of this, I think, lends to better solutions, stronger platforms, and greater customer experience, you know, for the clients, right? And again, the basis for a lot of these things, along with the, you know, some of these decisions, is the platform that you make a choice on. If the platform is flexible enough for you to bring all these mindset, be able to realize this in practice, tap into the best of open technologies, better proprietary technologies, have you that flexibility, I think you can create a culture that's actually world-class in terms of innovating and in terms of delivering the best possible digital experiences for the clients, Sash. I think that's the fundamental premise, right? I think, as you rightly said in the beginning, how do you get the best CX? How do you keep employees engaged? How do you keep us all secure while you actually continue to deliver value for our, you know, for our base, right? That's the fundamental premise, I think, for all of us. I think if you start with these three things and make the right decisions on technology and platforms, I think it can give you that flexibility to be able to innovate and, I think, establish a truly winning culture, right? Not just for today, but also for, you know, years to come, Sash. That's how I look at it.
Chetan, always a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for your time today and for sharing your insights with us. I'm sure organizations looking to succeed in 2023 and beyond will find a lot of value in what you shared.
No, thank you, Sasha. It was great talking to you. I think we covered so many diverse perspectives. Always a pleasure seeing you. Thank you for having me here.
Do read The Ecosystem Byte to find out more about the 5 ways to shape your change strategy to be prepared for a world that requires constant reinvention.